Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. Today's a big, big day on the Bill Handel Show. Stick with us. All will be revealed. And I don't think you'll be disappointed. I really don't. Let's bring in, just for a moment, please, let's bring in a trusted, objective news person, Jennifer Jones Lee. Because I'm allowed to have all kinds of opinions about everything.
Yeah.
Which means I'm allowed to say all kinds of crap. But you are a news person right now.
It's no fun.
You have to deal with facts and objectivity. I'm clearly teasing some kind of an event or development on today's show.
Yes.
You know what that event or development is.
Correct.
Do you feel I'm overstating it?
No.
Thank you.
It's big. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you very much.
That's a fact.
That's Jennifer Jones Lee, KFI News. Okay, we're going to close down Guantanamo Bay any moment now. I mean, obviously we're closing it down any moment now because we've been working on it for a long time. President Barack Obama, that was one of his massive campaign promises. I will shut down Guantanamo Bay. Of course, he ran into some trouble. Remember when the Obama administration said, hey, we could maybe shut down Guantanamo Bay if we took some of the fellas there who are awaiting trials and we moved them out of Guantanamo Bay and we moved them into a prison near you? Wait, near me here in America? Yes. No, said America collectively. Not a chance, pal. We're not taking them. So they had to abandon that plan, so that didn't work. Also, you have a few guys over there who aren't awaiting any trials at all. They're people sitting in Guantanamo Bay. They have no charges against them, but they have been deemed dangerous. So you can't move them out to another jail to await trial because there's no trial for them to await. So that didn't work. President Trump also would have liked to have closed Guantanamo Bay, but he ran into all the same problems that Obama did, and now you've got Biden. Biden at least is being, he's being a little more realistic about it in the sense that he's not yakking every 5 seconds, I'm going to close Guantanamo, I'm going to close it. He's not making that a big part of his agenda. He doesn't talk about it very much. The administration says they are looking at ways to try to get it shut down, but he's not pinning a lot of hopes on it. In terms of practically what you'd have to do to close it down, we're probably at a place where it's easier than it's ever been to do it. There aren't that many guys there anymore. Weren't there over 700 people, prisoners at Guantanamo Bay at the peak? Yes, there were. Now, there's 39 people there. So, you got to find somewhere to send 39 people, and you can close it down. So, the practical aspect isn't so bad. The political aspect, forget about it. In fact, I think the political climate now is less hospitable to shutting down Guantanamo maybe than at any time since the first person said, hey, we could probably shut down Guantanamo now. And that's because of the debacle in Afghanistan, I think. Because terror is, and the, you know, the 20th anniversary of 9/11 doesn't help either. Terror is very much on our mind. The idea that this particular administration now doesn't know what they're doing really bungled the Afghanistan thing. We're seeing the fact that some guys who were released from Guantanamo. Now, releasing somebody from Guantanamo is not the same thing as shutting the whole facility down. However, it's close enough. So remember when we released some guys from Guantanamo and now they're in the official government of Afghanistan, including one guy who's the head of their security. Okay, so knowing that, now that you know that, you want to shut down Guantanamo? Probably not. I'm thinking, it just feels like we don't. I think the problem is, I don't want to even get into the weeds about what you'd have to do and who's in there and what country were they from. And just the feeling that I don't think we have a handle on the problems outside of Guantanamo. I don't know if we need to take 39 of the worst people on the planet right now and figure out where to stick them so that they're not in Guantanamo. Because one thing I think we can all agree on, I really do, I think whether you love former President Trump more than anything in the world, and he is the only person who can lead this country into our bright future, or Joe Biden is the greatest American president that has ever been, or Bernie Sanders should be anointed king of the planet and serve with his queen, AOC, bringing socialism to all the people of Earth. Wherever you feel in your heart, we can all agree on this. Nobody's ever escaped from Guantanamo Bay. That didn't happen. Also, I feel comfortable saying this. I don't know you really. I don't claim to know you, and I don't claim to read your mind, yet I'm comfortable saying you have never once lost a night of sleep because you were worried about one of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay doing something to you. Right? They're very much out of sight, out of mind. The one thing we all agree on is they're not going anywhere unless we want them to go somewhere. So it's a very safe, secure facility is what I'm saying. Also, I've never heard a lick of innuendo that there's been any corruption with the staff at Guantanamo Bay. You've never heard a whisper of, oh, they're giving them cell phones. Right? They're smuggling in MDMA and having raves for the guys. You don't hear any of that. So in terms of doing its main job, which is to isolate a certain person, it's great. It's working great. In terms of its secondary job of being part of dispensing justice, it sucks. It was such big news last week that there was a hearing in the 9/11 trial, the trial to try to hold some people accountable for 9/11, including the mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. They had a little pre-trial hearing over there at Guantanamo for the first time in a long time because of the pandemic and all of this stuff. And it was a stark reminder of just how damn long it's been, this case wending its way through the military commission. So in terms of taking care of the trials of the people there, it's not really doing a good job. But I would say political will prevent it from being shut, maybe ever. Mitch McConnell already said, we're not shutting it down. If you shut it down, that affects our U.S. security. James Inhofe of Oklahoma said the same thing. So I think we're waiting for the 39 to die. Because a couple of them are over 70 now. I think this is a waiting game. And when they have all died of old age or something else, that's when we will close it. In the meantime, we get to pay for all of their health care in their old age. So that'll be fun. Also, when there were over 700 people there, it cost about $230 million a year to run Guantanamo Bay. There's 39 people there now. It costs about $230 million a year to run Guantanamo Bay. So the per, you know, we hear about funding for schools. Hey, that district spends $10,000 per pupil per year, and that district only spends $2,000. Guantanamo Bay, man, the per prisoner expenditures. Woo! Talk about a rate of inflation. All right, let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee. And then, hey, that country cutter. Man, oh man, are they playing both sides of the fence? It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. It is a momentous day on the Bill Handel Show. I've been saying that all morning. You may be getting frustrated with me. Do not go anywhere. I promise you, the wait time to discover what I've been talking about all morning is coming in really just a few minutes. Let's talk about Cutter, because here's the thing with Cutter. I will start by quoting former representative from Virginia, Scott Taylor, who was also a former Navy SEAL and who has been helping to organize evacuee flights out of Afghanistan. And he was speaking about the country of Cutter, and he said, "They saved our butts. More than any other nation per capita, Cutter stepped up to the plate." See, this is very interesting because 4 years ago, we said that Qatar, the country that just saved our butts, we said 4 years ago that they were a high-level funder of terrorism. Now, 4 years ago, there was this massive dispute between Qatar, and then you had Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and some of their allies on the other side of it. And they were saying that Qatar was being very aggressive, that they were fomenting Islamic unrest all throughout the region. They put a blockade in place. Qatar, at one point, in order to have milk for their people, had to airlift cows from Europe. And we were right on board, man. We were on the Saudi side against Qatar. And then something happened. Well, one thing that happened is we need help from whoever we need help from. This has been true of this country's history, and it's true of any country. It's not a uniquely American feature that we will get into bed with someone like a Saddam Hussein in Iraq and then turn around and invade his country. You do what you got to do when it comes to international politics. And we've said for a long time, hey, Qatar, man, they have ties to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and Iran and the Taliban. But also, guess where the largest U.S. military base in the Middle East is? Qatar. Now, Qatar says there's a reason for this. They don't deny any of this. They don't deny that they have ties to those organizations. Here's what they say, and their assistant foreign minister said this. This is the role of a mediator. We're a mediator, meaning we don't take sides. We maintain an open channel with all of the interested parties so that we can facilitate discussions. We can make things happen like the evacuation of Americans out of Afghanistan even after the United States has left. It's precisely because we don't freeze anybody out. And he may have a really good point. I mean, they're at the center of pretty much every part of the aftermath of the collapse in Afghanistan. They're accepting the lion's share of flights out of Afghanistan in Doha. Also, did you know that Qatar's ambassador to Afghanistan personally escorted U.S. citizens through the Taliban checkpoints to get them to the airport? We now have our diplomatic mission to Afghanistan in Qatar. Qatar paid out of their pockets to expand our airbase there. More living quarters for U.S. troops, more recreational facilities for U.S. troops and other personnel. There's 10,000 U.S. personnel based there. They paid to expand our thing. They've also been working with a bunch of top U.S. universities. There's a part of Doha called Education City. Georgetown, Northwestern, Carnegie Mellon are just some of the top U.S. universities that have satellite campuses there. And they paid for all of that. I'm not trying to talk up Qatar. I'm not with the Qatar Tourism Board or anything. I'm just saying this is a very interesting country. It's a country that we have run hot and cold on over the years. But when their foreign minister says this is the way we do it because we're actually trying to not take sides, we're trying to be a mediator, and we're trying to make the most things happen that can happen, he really may have a point. All right. We're going to get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee, and then something very exciting is going to happen on this show. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Handle on the News. Late edition.
Handle on the News.
This is back again.
Bill Handle.
Back, tell a friend.
And now, here's Bill Handel.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Yep, in studio. Boy, you talk about getting back on in the saddle, but I didn't fall off particularly. Oh, yeah, I think I did.
Well, you were viciously kicked off the saddle by your own heart.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, before we start Handel on the News Late Edition, a couple of announcements. First of all, life is approaching normal. I went to Anaheim White House on Thursday night.
Oh.
And it was as spectacular as it always is. And I think if you go to Instagram or social media, you'll see me giving a smooch to Bruno. And obviously and always the food is great. Also, did you listen to Steve Gregory with that wonderful segment, a 2-hour special that he did. And I was only able to, for the first hour, listen to it because things came up. And I was going to listen to it second hour. So I called Steve congratulating him and said, you know what? I've got to tell you, that first hour was a little bit weak. Just a little weak, mainly because he didn't use me enough.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, guys, let's do it.
I'm sure after the amount of work that he put into that, which you can still hear it, right? The podcast's up at KFIAM640.com. And all that time he put into it and the people that he interviewed and everything, and you come in and you do that to him?
No, he's so good, it doesn't matter. There's very little I can say about Steve that would affect his reputation.
That didn't sound very good either. There's very little you can say about him.
That was a backhanded compliment.
No, and did you hear the rest of it?
Yes.
There's very little I could say about Steve that's going to ruin his reputation.
Bill's back, everybody.
Okay, guys, let's do it. Lead story. Biden is heading west. He's coming out to, number one, assess the wildfires and campaign for Newsom. Have you seen the commercials done by Barack Obama? They seem to be working because Newsom is moving up in the no category. And we'll see what happens. And Larry Elder, I'll tell you the one thing about Larry Elder is he doesn't say word one about his program, what he has in mind. His entire platform is Newsom sucks.
Yeah, I mean, he said he would, and this is just a form of Newsom sucks, but he said he would immediately rescind the mask mandates and the vaccine mandates, and he would cancel the state of emergency over COVID.
That's not much of a platform.
Well, it's a platform, but it only exists as I'm going to fix all the stuff that sucks about Newsom.
Right. And there are a couple of criticisms that I give Newsom.
Yeah.
One is how he's handled the homeless. Really sucks. Two is how he handled the wildfires. And, oh, he didn't do management. Hey, what do you do with 157 wildfires in the state of California? Do you go ahead and grab the 157 planes that are sitting there waiting for fire control? Come on, guys. You know, let's be a little ridiculous. And as far as the mask mandate and the vaccination mandate and the schools closing, I'm totally in favor of that, 100%, because it's a public service issue.
Would you consider voting to recall Newsom if there was an acceptable replacement candidate that would take over? In other words, do you have enough against him?
No,
that you'd
I really don't. I really don't. I don't. Because actually, the mandates I'm in favor of, he's done a pretty good job with the schools. There's several issues with Newsom, but I don't think it's enough to pop the recall. I just don't think it's enough. But I've been saying that. How long have I been saying that?
Since they first said they were going to pursue a recall against him.
Yeah.
All right, Tropical Storm Nicholas is expected to bring heavy rain to coastal areas in Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana. Like they need any more.
At what point do you move out of Louisiana? When do you leave?
You know, they probably, though, say the same thing about us in California. After you have these massive earthquakes, why would you guys all stay there?
And the wildfires.
Yeah.
Okay, massive earthquake was 1994. Okay, so that was a while ago. In Louisiana, it's every other week where they get flooded. And you're right, but I will tell you that the wildfires, you know, there isn't much you can do. People are building closer and closer to the forests, to the wilderness, and what ends up happening? Houses get burnt. You've got farmland that gets burnt. Mountains get burnt. What do you do with that? And what is the answer to wildfires when you have the biggest wildfires in the history of California?
Well, I guess people want to know why. And then the problem is the obvious answer seems to be climate change.
Oh, there's no question.
But there's a lot of people who say it's not climate change. It's things like we're not doing enough forest management. Remember, President Trump talked about
the rakes.
They need to get the debris. Yes, the rakes. Because here's the other thing. If you say that it's climate change, then what do?
Well,
you can't roll back climate change. If you say it's forest management, theoretically, you could implement a different forest management plan and do something. So I don't know if it's climate change deniers or if it's people looking for a practical reason that we could do something about forest management. At least we could try something. Because if you go, this is climate change, this is the way it is now, I guess then you throw up your hands and you say, this is the way it is now.
No, you can slow down climate change pretty dramatically, and that is the use of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Accelerating the use of alternative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And just make it more and more difficult.
But wouldn't we still be stuck with this level of climate change-fueled disasters? Let's say tomorrow we cut emissions 80% magically, but we're not actually reversing.
No.
So wouldn't we still have hurricanes every other day and ever increasing wildfires and all of it?
But we wouldn't have hurricanes every 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. I see.
Which is what we're having now.
That's the discussion now. You're saying the discussion is not how to make it better.
No.
It's only, is there a way to stop it from getting even worse?
That's it.
Oy.
And, you know, the houses burned down. Now it's by the thousands. One of the programs that could be instituted is you're not building there anymore. That's it. You're getting no permit to build in your area. And then there's low-cost government loans. There's grants because Biden can't help himself with the grants. He wakes up in the morning and goes, well, let me see. It's 6:30. How many grants can we create before 8:30? You know what? Let's take a break. And we'll come back and move through these stories. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And welcome back, everybody. Bill Handel here with the whole morning crew. And I'm here in the studio and excited beyond words. Let's go. Let's continue on with Handel on the News, Wayne and me and Jennifer Jones Lee.
Well, I guess Hamas launched some rockets at Israel. And so Israel sent their jets over to strike targets in the Gaza Strip. So that's going on again.
Yeah, you wonder why they do that, because it's always a losing proposition for Gaza. They shoot missiles. It's like bottle rockets. They're not going to hit anything. And the Israelis hit targets.
Yes.
And they just keep on going. Now, is it because they want to keep the population excited and on war footing? Makes sense to me.
I think they know that if they send a rocket over, there's going to be a retaliatory strike. And then what they do for their audience is they don't talk about the part that they started it. They go, hey, they're bombing us.
Right.
You need to keep supporting us. They are the oppressor and to keep everything alive. I think that's their point. If they stopped lobbing rockets, then there wouldn't be a lot for them to, they could still complain about all the economic inequities and the infrastructure inequities that they have. There's still a lot of reasons they could point the finger at Israel without the military aspect of things, but they really, I guess, feel it's important to keep drawing Israel in.
Yeah, and at the same time, Israel controls virtually everything. Their electricity, all of it. Hamas.
Whether you can go across the border or not.
Hamas. Yeah, Hamas is devastated, economically speaking, militarily speaking, but they keep on going.
So is he dead or not? That's the question that we have with the guy who was supposed to have taken over right after Osama bin Laden was killed in June of 2011. He is Ayman al-Zawahiri, and he apparently was in this video that commemorated the 20-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. There were rumors that he had died months earlier, but he appeared to have spoken in this video about events that had taken place after his rumored death, meaning, okay, then maybe he didn't die back when they said that he was dead. However, he made no mention of what is going on in Afghanistan with the Taliban. And wouldn't you think that the leader of Al-Qaeda would want to point that out in a video?
You would think so. Night of the Living Dead, by the way. He's a zombie now. And yes, and he's just talking about, you can't kill him. There's no way.
Hey, the Taliban says women can go to university, but they're going to be in segregated classes and they're going to wear hijabs. And that's how it's going to go, which I guess is better than saying you can't go at all.
Which is what 20 years ago is exactly what happened. Women weren't allowed to go outside without a male chaperone. They couldn't even take a walk without a male chaperone. Couldn't go to the doctor without a male chaperone. And the Taliban has loosened that up. Now, we'll see how long that lasts. But at this point, there are women presenters on the news shows. And they're saying, we'll segregate these people, but they can still go, the women and men, but they can still go to university. And more importantly, they can still work. So we'll see.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yep.
All right, the opening statements are kicking off in the first trial of the college admission scandal. And if you're thinking, wait a minute, I remember Felicity Huffman and I remember Lori Loughlin and her husband. No, this is the first trial. So everybody else up to this point has pleaded guilty or taken some sort of deal in these cases. This is the first time that we will actually see two people go to trial over it.
Yeah, and when Lori Loughlin came in and Felicity Huffman, and I think they both pled guilty, one of the things that does not happen when someone is going into federal court and about to be sentenced, they don't sign autographs coming in.
No, they do not. They take it pretty seriously.
Yes, they do.
Hey, you're a lawyer, Bill, so good. I want to ask you about this situation. There's a lawsuit against Prince Andrew having to do with his alleged involvement in the whole what's-his-face Epstein situation.
Yep.
Sex abuse. So it's a lawsuit. And there was a pretrial telephone conference, and he's not going to be there, and his lawyers aren't going to be part of it. They say he was not properly served in the case, so we're not going to participate. So my question to you is, this protects Prince Andrew from any action by the court, disciplinary action, because he's just doing what his lawyers are telling him to do. And are his lawyers on the hook for anything here?
Or
are they exempt from punishment because they're making a legal argument?
Well, if the legal argument doesn't exist, if they're making it out of whole cloth, then Prince Andrew is not required to go to court because you need proper service. So this next motion is going to be, was Prince Andrew served appropriately or not? The process server says, I served him. Yeah. Prince Andrew says, I've never been with this woman before, and it's improper service. The royal family is staying away from this. And I'm assuming Prince Andrew is paying for his own defense.
Oh, then the royals are not going to bankroll any of this.
I don't think the royals are touching it.
Okay. I mean, he's got a lot of money, right? He's a prince.
There are plenty of princes out there that don't have. Well, he's got the civil list that he's on.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know. Yeah, he's probably still on it. But that's been reduced. Mm. And you're not going to defend a huge trial like this. You're just not going to. And they'll serve him. You know, someone will deliver a summons in a pizza box. Then anybody call for summons, and there it is.
You've been served.
Mozzarella cheese dripping on the sides. A little bit of pepperoni in there, mm-hmm. But you've been served. Nothing says no pepperoni. All right, coming back, and what I want to do is share with you what happened over the weekend in commemoration of 9/11, because I have some thoughts that I want to share.
Also, will you explain what is going on with you in your schedule this week when you come back?
Yes, I will do that,
too. Because I think people would like to know what they can expect.
You got it. This is KFI AM 640 Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.